Everyone, this is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which can be found at stutterrockstar.com and wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Today, as always, I have the exciting opportunity to meet yet another woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I'd like to say hello to Catherine. Hey, how are you today?
Hey, I'm awesome.
You are.
I'm so awesome to be here. I'm pumped.
It's really awesome to have you here, and I'm really excited to give people an opportunity to learn why you're so awesome. So to get us started, could you formally introduce yourself, who you are, where you're from, what keeps you busy?
I am Catherine Paparocki. I am from Denver, Colorado. What keeps me busy? I have kids. I have two. I have some dogs. I have a rabbit. I'm a professional fighter. I own a gym. And I'm just hanging out.
I would say you're busy.
Yeah.
Yes. So what kind of fighter?
Yeah. So I have kind of dabbled in everything. I have a professional boxing. I've done professional kickboxing. But my passion and soul is professional MMA. Not something I ever thought I would do, but I've been fighting now for, let's see, I've been a professional since 2018. So I've just been hanging out.
Wow. Now MMA is mixed martial arts?
It is, yeah. So every fight you start standing, but it can kind of go anywhere. You're in a cage. Normally you fight 3 5-minute rounds. You can choke, you can elbow, you can kick, you can kind of do anything. Yeah, it's awesome.
It sounds it. It sounds like really like fun and high energy and like intense, right?
It is. Yeah. It's probably the most intense thing that I have ever done. It's awesome for me because I come from a background of like anxiety, and not always having confidence in who I am. But through training and fighting, it has truly helped to kind of show me who I am. And I'm extremely cool and tough. So heck yeah.
Now, you said that you have been into it since 2018. So like what drew you in? Like what made you decide to say, I want to try fighting?
Craziness. So actually, I was dating my husband, and my husband at the time was a manager at a cardio boxing type of a place. And through a friend of his, he started to fight. And I thought that it was cool and like, oh, like he's so tough and handsome. And, but I wasn't really into it yet. I'm not like an aggressive kind of a person. But I was pretty unhealthy. I was unhappy. I have asthma. And so I was just kind of hanging out and not quite sure what to do. I was a preschool teacher at the time, because kids are cool and they're awesome. But I hadn't really found like a pathway yet. So I started to just train to kind of get into better shape. But then I fell in love with just the constant grind, and finding out a lot about who I am and what I'm capable of was just really powerful. And so I had my first amateur fight, and I was kind of like okay, like I find it cool. Kept training, and then I was like, all right, like I love this. I am going to try to be the greatest that I can be. So here I am, being
here
great.
You are. Here you are. And you know, a few moments ago you mentioned that you know, you'd had a lot of anxiety. Is stuttering, was that part of it? Was that part of your general anxiety?
Oh, absolutely. As comfortable and confident as I have been in my stuttering, it's hard. And the hardest part for me is I just want to be able to communicate. I don't necessarily mind that I have a stutter, but there are times when it's so hard that I can't even speak. And that just gets exhausting. It gets tiring. And I've gone through phases where I kind of shut down and I stop talking. And I think that's painful for anybody because I have a lot to say. I'm smart. I've got great ideas. And so the anxiety of like, if I could speak or if I could order the food that I actually wanted, not just the food that was easiest to say. And so, yeah, I think I always thought I was a little bit more confident in it than I had actually been. And so, yeah, and it's interesting that we're having this talk now, actually, because I'm 29. I turned 30 in April. And I was just talking to my husband last Thursday. And I was at a drive-through and I was struggling to speak so bad I started to cry. And I haven't had that experience in a really long time. And I don't know if there's something to do with like hormones or age, but I feel now that I am approaching 30, my stuttering has gotten back to being pretty unmanageable. And I've really had to kind of take a pause because for so long I have been at the forefront of like it's okay to utter and it's okay to have confidence in it. And here I was being like, I'm done speaking. Like, I'm not going to talk to anybody anymore. And I had to like pause and say like, hey, I have tools now. I have people around me now. And so like, I can handle this. And so it was almost perfect timing when I had gotten your email, because I had just had that talk of like, I'm not speaking to anybody anymore. And I was like, how shameful for me to put myself back into that spot. Like, I'm not going to. And so here I am, just
talking,
just struggling through it, talking through it. I, yeah, but in fairness too, like I have a wonderful husband who has just been so supportive and helpful and just patient and calm. And I think having that safe spot here at home has been so helpful to then have more confidence going out there. Out there.
Out in the world doesn't stutter.
Yeah.
Have you always stuttered like since a little kid?
I don't remember a time not stuttering. I went through, as I'm sure we all do, right? You're coming up with coping skills that help you at the time. So when I was a earlier child stuttering, I did a lot of like hitting stuff to help me. I did a lot of like rocking to try to help get everything out, which then kind of transferred into like slower speech. But as a young kid, I was like, that's dumb. Like, I'm not doing that. Like, that's stupid. So like, I had tools that I now am like, oh, like, easy. But as a young kid, I was like, I don't want to talk like that. And then I went through like a phase where I spoke very fluently, and I don't know if I felt like I had, like, I don't stutter anymore. I don't know. And then puberty hit hard. and so, I mean, I've always uttered. So in fairness, like, I don't really know what it would feel like to not stutter. I can imagine that it would be so great and easy, but like, everybody has a hard time if they're talking in front of a crowd or so. Like, yes, my hill to climb is stuttering at times, but like, everybody has something to climb over, so oh well.
Yeah. So did you do any formal speech therapy as a kid or a young adult?
So I did a few different kinds, and so I'm 29, so back in like the 90s, which really isn't that long, back in the old days,
right?
So I remember being in speech therapy in school, but they didn't know what to do with me. I was in with other kids that didn't know other stuff. So I would be in a room with kids that couldn't say their THs. And so I would have to say like things like that. But if I'm in like a good flow and pattern, I can kind of turn anything into more of a rhythm. And so it really wasn't helping me. And so when I was about, I think 13, my mom found me a stuttering specialist. His name was Beryl Dodge. And he was the first stutterer that I had actually met. And I wish I could go back in time because I was such an arrogant prick at 13, as I think we all might be. I don't know. So kind of the same thing. Like, I took his tools for like, well, that sounds stupid. Like, they'll know, like, that I'm speaking with stretched speech, not understanding that, like, I was practicing being more relaxed, and that, like, ultimately, the goal isn't to get me to not utter, it's so that I can communicate properly. So that was about the end of my speech therapy. I believe at the time my mom's health care wouldn't cover it. And it was very expensive. And so because I was kind of like, I don't need this, and it was expensive, there was kind of not no point to go on, but that was kind of it. And so now that I'm older, though, I'm like, these are great tools. And I now can slow down or not. So it's just unfortunate that I didn't quite understand what speech therapy is actually helping me for. I thought that it would cure it. And because it didn't cure it, it was stupid.
Right.
Because I know everything at 13, right? Like, who needs to tell me anything?
Exactly, right? Right? Like, yeah. Gosh. Like, yeah, you're right. The good old days and the 90s. Wow. Like, you're making me feel ancient. Oh, my God.
You're welcome.
So what do your kids think that mom stutters?
Oh, I love this question. I think it's awesome. So I'm my kids' stepmom. I met my kids when they were about, so my youngest daughter was 10 months old, and my oldest daughter is 2. Okay. And so they've been a little bit, yeah, so grow up and stop pooping in your diaper, please. Anyway, I don't like babies. So my daughter, it was about when she was 7, and was like, why do you talk like that? But it had taken her 7 years to even like notice. And we had talked, and I was like, oh, like cool. And then she was fine. Mm-hmm. They just kind of know that's who I am. When I got involved with the National Stuttering Association last July, they thought that that was extremely cool. Because although it's normal for them, they also can see at times when I'm having a harder time or when I'm frustrated. So I think it's cool for them that like I continue to talk and speak. And my household is very chill. So not that they'll like tease me, but it's very acceptable in our household to make jokes about it at times, which I find humorous because I understand. Like, at times I'm like talking at them and then I get stuck. And like, it is kind of funny at times. So I also think too that they are a lot more understanding of others, and they know that like just because you don't speak fluently doesn't mean that you aren't smart. It doesn't mean that you are shy. And so I think that that helps them to be practical when they are out. So all good things, I guess.
Yeah. Now, what got you involved with the National Stuttering Association last year? What drew you to come to a conference?
Yeah. So last year I was on a show on ESPN called The Ultimate Fighter, and it's a reality show where they put fighters in a house, and throughout the course that you are there, the people in the house have to fight. Very odd but cool thing to go through. It was cool in a way and odd. Anyway, it was really important to me that my stuttering wasn't hidden. I had been on a fight prior, and when they were interviewing me, I was nervous. Oh my God, I was so nervous. And I was stuttering like really hard and bad and like cool. And when they edited it all, I sounded completely like fluent. And I was like, that's not what I sound like. Like, what the heck? And so being on The Ultimate Fighter, I was like, hey, I'm okay that you don't edit it. Like, it's okay. But like, please allow me to be me. And they were awesome. And so in my episode, episode number 5, I got to share a bit about it. And so the NSA had called and was like, hey, like, I saw this. Do you want to talk? Like, are you? And I was like, what is the NSA? I had no clue. I was almost 29 and I didn't even know that the NSA is out there. And the minute I was in contact with them and I had gotten on Google to just kind of see, and I was like, I love this. I mean, how powerful, how incredible. And it had kind of been excellent timing. The conference was coming up. And so I was like, yes, I would gladly go to that. And it was one of the most incredible experiences that I have ever had. I tell every person that I can about the NSA. I think it's really powerful what's happening over there and at the conference too. Like, the coolest people, many of them I still talk to, and it's just cool. Like, I had no idea that there were so many other people that had the same common ground. It was amazing. So yeah, I love them.
What was it like when you found yourself, like, you know, checking into the hotel and hearing stuttered voices that like appeared to be the norm? Like, what did that feel like to you?
It felt very relaxed for me. I came into the conference and I would still say that I was a confident stuttering person going into the conference, but I didn't realize how hidden I was. Because that becomes what you just do, right? Like, I thought for a long time that the only way to communicate was to hide it, not knowing that I could still communicate, and I didn't have to hide it. And so to just be so relaxed, and hearing so many things that I thought were something that only I had experienced, to then share that and to hear it was just awesome. Because not many people understand, going to a store and not being able to find an item, but not asking anybody and staying at that store as long as you need it until you found it. Or I can remember being young and having to go to the pharmacy, but instead of saying my name, I would pretend that I had like a cold, and I would have had written everything down and passed it over because that was easier than having to handle talking. Mm-hmm. And other people have experienced that too. And so it's just powerful to know that you're not the only Woo!
Good one.
That's a good one. to know that you are not alone. And it's just powerful. And like I had sat in on one of the chats at the conference, and it was kids who stutter in sports, and hearing them talk about how okay they were with that, like they stuttered, that's just incredible. I feel like I could have been a little bit further ahead if I had had that help as a younger kid. And don't get me wrong, like my mom was so helpful, and she really wanted to help me not struggle so much. But oftentimes when you're stopping people from struggling, you're taking away their experience of how to handle things. And so I didn't really start handling it until I got older. And handling might not be like the right proper term, but just to cope. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really good point, because as people who stutter, especially women who stutter, because we tend to have more responsibilities, like, you know, we're the nurturers, we're the caretakers, so like we do need to know how to be our best selves and cope with being a little different than other people, and, you know, believing that that's okay.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, I really like the way that you put that, because it's not on anyone else to help us manage or cope with our experience. It's completely on us. And
Yeah. So I had heard an acronym the other day for love, and it was let others voluntarily evolve. And I thought that that was so beautiful. And as a parent, I can only imagine how painful it is to have to watch that. But in a sense, your job is to prepare your kid to go out into the real world. And so in a sense, like, you are loving them by allowing them to voluntarily evolve. And so I feel like at times I didn't get that chance until I got a little bit older, which at times is scary because I'm like calling people and I'm like, I don't usually make phone calls. Like, what do I do? Like, what is happening?
You've evolved.
Man, I'm evolving slowly but surely. So,
yeah. Oh my goodness. Now, present day, you know, like when you're interacting with others and, you know, with your fighting, does stuttering ever come up with, like, you know, colleagues, other fighters, you know, promoters, interviewers? I mean, does it come up or have people, I mean, is it just, you know, accept it? That's Catherine.
If you know me, you know that I utter. And usually it's not because we talk about it. Like, it's just, it's obvious. I do, ever since I went to the conference though, I do tell people more. I think it's unfair to not tell somebody, and it's not to make me comfortable or for them. I think it's my job, to let people know that, like, hey, you might speak to some other person and now you are more comfortable, you're more confident in handling it. And if I can help you to understand that more, I think I should. I am pretty active in being like, hey, I appreciate that you are trying to get that you are trying to guess what I'm saying, but it is very important for me that I say it. So thank you, right? Like, cool, but maybe don't. Stop it. And you would be amazed how, like, oh, like, cool. Like, I think oftentimes when people don't handle you the way that you would like, it's just a lack of knowledge. And how, who is a better person to explain it, right? And me, like, I'm an expert, right? And so it's actually, when we were on The Ultimate Fighter, there was a girl in our house, and she was in front of a fighter that she's a really big fan of. And so when he started to talk to her, she got really, like, excited. And she started to stutter. And when we got back to the house, she was like, oh my God, like, I stuttered. I sounded so stupid. He must think that I'm a retard. Ooh. And she turned to me and was like, oh my God, like, I can't believe that. Like, I'm so sorry. And at first I was mad. And then I paused and I was like, homie, if anybody knows how intense that can be, it's me. So, hey, like, I'm sorry you had to experience that, A. And B, now you know, though, that you're not stupid. And so if you ever hear someone who's having a hard time talking, you now know. That doesn't mean that they are anything else, right? And so that's one more person that knows now. So, like, cool. Yeah. So I don't know. It's interesting, because for such a long time I didn't want to talk about it, but I think it's important to. So thank goodness for people like you who have this wonderful platform for us to talk. Yeah, it's cool.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And in wind down mode, because these conversations always go so fast.
Yeah.
You know, going back to the moment you described at the drive-thru,
yeah,
when you were ordering and, you know, just couldn't get it out and you got really upset. You know, did you get your food?
I did. You're damn right I did. And I got exactly what I asked for. And yes, that is a great point. Yes. Like, yes, it sucked. I cried, but I got the job done. So high and five to me.
So you just kind of like took a deep breath, composed yourself, and just, you know, proceeded with your order?
The person that was taking the order, they thought there was something wrong with the with the thing. So I think I tried like a total of like five times.
Oh gosh.
But five times is a charm in this case, and I got it done. So
good. Good for you. Good, yeah. good for you, because yeah, that is certainly the message that we want to impart to other people, especially younger people, you know, that, yeah, there's going to be moments where we just want to go, just, you know, like, I can't do this, or I don't want to do this,
yes,
but that we can do this, you know? And that just seems like a perfect point to just follow up with one quick question.
Okay.
Before we close.
I'm ready. Do it.
What is one bit of advice that you would impart to young girls who stutter that may be listening to this? Like, you know, from your years of life experience at 29, you know,
almost 30, by the way.
Almost 30. Happy early birthday. you know, what would you want to share to maybe just pave the road and make it a little easier for, you know, teen girls and young adults coming up who stutter?
Have compassion for yourself, because you're the one that has to speak to yourself in your own head, either prior or during or after, and you've got to be on your own team and just have compassion for that. Like, hey man, ultimately, right, I did get my food, and so it's okay, and like I have compassion for me. So yes, have compassion for yourself and continue to grow that. Absolutely.
Perfect way to end this amazing conversation. Catherine, thank you so much for being a guest today and sharing. This has been fun, and I know people are going to listen and be like, wow, look at her. She's a fighter. She's famous. How cool. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you.
And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.